Next week is the last ordinary Sunday before we start Advent, the season we Christians prepare for the coming of Jesus. Not only the first coming at Christmas, but just as importantly, the second coming when Jesus will return at the end of time. I don't know whether you've noticed, but Holy Mother Church is already preparing us for the end of time by selecting three readings in the 3 weeks prior to the end of the Christian year. Last week, this week, and next week. They're all taken from chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, and they all share a common theme, the end of time. Last week we heard about the 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom to come. Only five of them were wise enough, when he eventually came, to have made sure they had enough oil in their lamps in case he came unexpectedly. Moral of the story, when it comes, it'll come when it's not expected. This message is rammed home today when St. Paul repeats it. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Thieves definitely operate quietly, and they love it when the victim's not expecting them. This week, Jesus tells us the parable of the talents. Each person is given responsibilities according to what they're capable of achieving. When the master eventually returns after being away for a long time, he asks individuals how they've used the resources they were given by their master. It seems that the servants are expected to be bold, to trust in their abilities, to work at being faithful servants. Playing things safe, keeping your head down, is not an accepted excuse when the master returns in judgment. Next week we'll hear what happens when on the day of judgment, Christ the King asks for an account of how during their lives, individuals treated the less fortunate when they came across them. Did they recognize Christ in the thirsty, the hungry, the naked, the sick, or the imprisoned? And November is the traditional month when we Catholics particularly remember the dead. But to the world at large, the idea of a mass for the dead is bewildering. We need to stop, pause, and examine why we do things the way we do, because the reason we have masses and prayers for the dead may have become a bit muddled in our minds. Let's just think about it for a moment. First, we're acknowledging death and its impact upon us. We are breaking society's taboo and facing our mortality head on. Most people nowadays completely ignore death. They avoid it. They don't even want to talk about it. Probably because they're frightened of the unknown. But we can be confident in the face of death because we are Christians. We know it's not the end of life. We believe in life after death. We've heard the evidence that there is life after death. We believe in the resurrection. The evidence has convinced us. Last Tuesday, I attended a funeral for a member of my family, or Catherine's family. He was an Orthodox priest. He died unexpectedly. He was only 61. Suddenly had a heart attack. The funeral was in a remote little church in the heart of the Lake District countryside. Absolutely beautiful surroundings. And it was a deeply moving occasion. I've never been to an Orthodox funeral before. It was poignant. It was spiritually uplifting. And that was because it was unashamedly a litany of prayers for the soul of someone we knew and loved, a plea for God to forgive him any sins he might have committed in this life, and an appeal for God to speed him on his way to heaven. And because it was a faith-filled occasion, it was actually a joyful occasion. And at the graveside, the actual burial ended with a loud cry of faith. Christ is risen. Alleluia. And in tonight's Mass, we are doing the same thing. We're praying for the dead. More particularly, we're praying for people whom we knew and loved. And we're calling on the communion of saints to pray for their souls too. We Catholics firmly believe in the communion of saints. In every Mass, we are united with the saints in heaven. All of us in heaven and earth, joining in a great prayer of faith. Holy, holy, holy. This is a key aspect of our living, practical faith in action that makes us proudly Catholic. We pray for the dead, that their souls too might complete their journey to heaven. A journey started during their lives on earth, continuing after their death through a process of purification, what we call purgatory. And purgatory is often a highly misunderstood and misrepresented doctrine of the church. The more I've learned about it, the more I embrace the truth of purgatory. Not as a place where sinners are punished. No, it's a spiritual state where we can be guided by our Lord Jesus towards full peace and reconciliation with our fellow humans and true personal peace. Purgatory completes our spiritual journey towards seeing our God in heaven. And through our prayers for the dead, we can forgive, console, comfort, heal, and strengthen those in purgatory who are yearning for our support in completing their journey heavenward. There's nothing wrong in wanting our loved ones to get to heaven, and likewise, it is certainly not shameful for us to want to get to heaven. That's why we pray. It's part of God's plan that involves us, humankind, working with him to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's why we boldly pray for each other as we each, in turn, inevitably take our leave of this world for the next. Tonight's Mass for the dead is all of us, as a Christian community, together affirming our faith, giving us the opportunity to be strengthened in preparation for our own journey towards heaven, that we may not be caught out by an unexpected, untimely death.